Welcome to Wannabe Clutter-Free, formerly Wannabe Minimalist, the podcast for busy families who are tired of the chaos, fed up with being overwhelmed, and ready to enjoy life again. Each week, we talk about how to let go of the clutter so that you can focus on the things that actually matter. And it's not just physical clutter. We talk about the mental and emotional stuff too, because if it's holding you back, it's time to ditch it. I share what I've done in my own life to declutter, organize, and calm the chaos, but you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's practical, doable, and simple for those of us that want to be clutter-free. You know how life doesn't stick to a schedule? Well, why should your paycheck? That's where EarnIn comes in. It's an app that lets you access the money you've earned right when you need it, not just on payday. Imagine this. Your dog suddenly needs a vet, or your kid has a little accident and needs a dentist, ASAP. We've been there, and waiting for your payday in those situations just doesn't make sense, and it adds unnecessary stress. With EarnIn, you can pull up to $100 per day or up to $750 each pay period directly from your earnings without the crazy fees or interest rates. It's super simple. Download the EarnIn app, verify your paycheck, and get access to your earnings as you earn them. You decide what to tip, and whatever you use gets settled on your next payday. More than 3.5 million users are finding relief and a sense of security with EarnIn, calling it a lifeline for financial stability. That peace of mind, it's priceless, and it could be yours. Ready to give it a try? Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in clutter under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help out the show. That's clutter under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Well, hey there. Welcome back to the show. I'm Deanna Yates, and you are listening to episode 195 of the Wannabe Clutter-Free podcast. On today's episode, I'm chatting with Janet M. Taylor about getting organized in our homes. I know so many people want the end product of a beautifully organized space, and Janet will help us look at where to start, what to do if we're overwhelmed, and how to declutter and organize at the same time. But before we get into our conversation, I want to say thank you so much for joining me today. I am so grateful that you are here. If you like what you hear today, there are a few ways you can help the show if you're interested. One, you can share it with a friend, and that also helps you get an accountability partner with you on your decluttering and organizing journey. So I love that option. Number two, you can leave a rating and a review for this show. You can do that pretty much on any podcast platform you listen to. On Apple, you can leave up to a 5-star rating and leave a review for the show. And on Spotify, you can also leave up to a 5-star rating and you can comment on the specific episode. You can also find this guest episode over on YouTube where you can subscribe and comment there as well. You can also comment and share the show on social media. So I'm on Instagram at wannabeclutterfree and I would love to hear your thoughts about the episode over there. And finally, you can become a sponsor of the show for as little as $5 per month and get all of the episodes ad-free. I will leave links in the show notes for you, and you can go to wannabeclutterfree.com/195 for more information. But that's enough housekeeping. Let's learn more about my guest this week. Janet leveraged her innate organizational prowess in 1994 when she founded Totally Organized LLC. She continues to wear multiple hats, serving as the host and producer of the acclaimed Got Clutter, Get Organized podcast, ranked number one in organizing and decluttering. Additionally, she contributes her expertise to Pierce College as a valued member of the advisory board for the business division. Her business earned recognition as one of Philadelphia's top minority firms by the Philadelphia Business Journal for 3 consecutive years, and she was even titled the Clutter-Free Queen when she appeared on The Rachel Ray Show. In 2020, Janet's own impeccably organized home was showcased on Apartment Therapy. Give this episode a listen, and when you're done, head over to wannabeclutterfree.com/195 to get the show notes for today's episode with links to Janet's website and her resources. Again, you can find it all at wannabeclutterfree.com/195. And now let's get to our conversation. Well, hi, Janet. Welcome to Wannabe Clutter Free. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. I'm always so excited to be here with you.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. We just got off of the Chaos.com Summit recently, and it is just so nice to be connecting again. And so I'm excited. So before, just in case anybody missed the summit or they haven't heard us talk before, can you tell us about yourself and what you do?
So I am what they call a professional organizer. I like to really call myself a life organizer. And I basically go into people's homes, their offices, help them manage their time, and also help them be strategic with whatever goals they've set for themselves in order just to cross things off of their list. And to do that by saving them time, energy, and a lot of times money.
Ooh, I love that. The time, the energy, and the money, right? That's really what it all boils down to. So how did you get into professional organizing?
So I was laid off. I was working for a company. I was laid off. And I decided I wanted to really be more in control of my finances as well as my future. So I came across an article of a woman who was doing organizing. She was speaking about it in a corporate setting. I reached out to local organizers, reached out to the National Association, and that's how I got started.
Huh. Fascinating. What were you doing before?
I was doing customer service. I was doing organizing transportation for senior citizens. Whether they wanted to go to the market, they had to go to a doctor's appointment, I would kind of make those arrangements for them.
Interesting. Okay, very cool. What is one of your favorite things about being a professional organizer?
I think when they really the stress release, when people get their space organized, when they declutter, get rid of all the unnecessary, and they really begin to utilize the systems. And it's sort of like a lot of times it's that weight that's just lifted off of their shoulder because one, they no longer have all that, they're surrounded by all that chaos and clutter, but also they feel like this is something I can do. I can manage this. I can maintain this. And the smiles on their faces too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you said earlier too about being a life organizer, not just a professional organizer, but a life organizer. And I just love the idea that, yes, it is more about what we bring to the entire life process, right? All the different systems, like you were saying, all the systems you set in place and all that kind of stuff. Can you tell us about how do you see the difference between decluttering and organizing? Because I know they're very different, but I think people lump them together a lot. So what do you see the differences between the two?
So the difference is decluttering is more like the first phase. It's where you come in and you just get rid of the things that you're not using, no longer working, just taking up valuable real estate in your home or in your office. And once you really let go, and it's about letting go, then you create a space where you can organize all the things that you and your family use and just create systems so that you can find things the first time that you look and you're not frustrated because you're wasting time and energy looking for scissors or a tool, et cetera.
Yeah. All right. So yeah. So decluttering, right. Clearing out, getting rid of the stuff that you don't need. So you're not organizing the chaos. You're not organizing the clutter and the stuff that is just getting in your way and causing those stress levels to go up. But we are then, once we get rid of that stuff, then we get to organize the stuff that we're keeping. Now, do you recommend people do a big declutter first or can they do them simultaneously? Is there a way they can work together? Because I know everybody's really after that end goal of the organized space. And I think when there's a giant, you know, your whole house is looming over you, you've got this huge project, it's something you haven't ever done before. And you're like, I don't want to spend all of my time decluttering. I want the pretty end goal. Is there any way that they can do them simultaneously or any tricks or tips for that?
And yes, you can do it simultaneously. And I would suggest that people just do it in smaller increments. For example, let's take luggage. It's getting a little warmer here. People are beginning to get travel. So go in and declutter the luggage. Get rid of the things that the luggage that you no longer use and you no longer want. But then also set up a system for the luggage that you are going to keep or maybe you are going to get a few new pieces. So that's how you can do it. You can categorize. I'm going to do the luggage. Or I know people who organize and decorate their houses seasonally. So you can just go by season, like, okay, I'm ending one season. So I'm going in and I'm really looking at the things that I haven't used this season. I probably haven't used in a couple of seasons and get rid of those. But then also setting up all the things that you are going to use and for your decor. And then also pull out whatever you want to use for the coming season.
Well, I will say I live in Southern California, so the seasonal decluttering thing is so different for me. I don't think I would know what to do with myself, although I have lived where there have been seasons. I've lived in Chicago. I've lived in Germany. We've lived with lots of seasons. My husband's from Iowa, but that seems like a lot. But I get it. If it works for people, go for it. I definitely love the idea, though, of the incremental decluttering and organizing and doing little bits at a time. What I also love about that idea is the fact that you can learn along the way, right? We were just talking before this about learning through that summit and, you know, it was the first one that I had done. And so it was just a whole learning process. And it's that way with everything in life, whether it's decluttering or trying something new in your business or trying a new activity or becoming a parent for the first time, everything has these learning curves. And so if you can test the waters, right, do a little bit, test it, see if it works for you, and then go back and tweak what doesn't work or use that, what you learn on the next system you set up. I really love that approach. So anything to add there?
And as you were talking, I was thinking one time a parent brought me in to organize a son, actually both of her sons. And the youngest one, she was just a little frustrated because she said he wasn't having things organized, hanging things up. But also he was getting so much clothes from his older brother. It was just so overwhelming. And then when I started working with him, I realized he didn't have hangers. So I went to the mother and I said, why he isn't hanging things up? Because he really doesn't have any hangers. He's got a few, but he doesn't have enough for the volume he actually really is using on a regular basis, but also for the other things that he's getting from his older brother. And she's like, huh. And she's like, okay. So then she went out and she bought some hangers. But sometimes, like you said, it's just looking at something a little bit differently. Like, you know what? This is how I can fix it.
Oh my gosh. I love how simple that solution was, right? Sometimes we do overcomplicate things and we make it seem like it's this big, giant problem when literally all the boy needed was some hangers. That's so interesting.
Ah. That's all he needed. That's all he was so happy. That's all he needed.
Oh, and then he was able to take care of it himself. That's amazing. Oh, that's so fun. What about when someone, so we were just giving us an example of starting with luggage, which I think makes sense, and especially with where we are right now in the season. It's February when we're recording this. It'll come out in March. But again, it's that kind of spring breaks right around the corner. People are going to go on vacation. So I like the luggage idea.
Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors for today's episode. And when we come back, Janet and I will talk about where to start if you are overwhelmed by your home and ready to declutter and organize. This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. But this isn't just any skincare product. It's a revolution in how we treat our skin, using the power of nature to heal. That's because Active Skin Repair is all about a little molecule called hypochlorous acid. This isn't your average ingredient. It actually mimics our body's natural immune response, working wonders to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing process. The best part is there is no sting when you apply it. We've used it in our home on everything from kitchen burns to those pesky cuts and scrapes my kiddo seems to get almost every other day. And let me tell you, the peace of mind knowing that I'm applying something non-toxic and natural yet medically graded is unbeatable. Whether it's a sunburn, rash, mosquito bite, or even more chronic skin issues like eczema or acne, Active Skin Repair has got you covered. And everyone in your family can use it because it's safe for all skin types and all ages. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews, the results speak for themselves. And because you're part of our podcast family, we've got an exclusive offer for you. Visit activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and use the code CLUTTERFREE to get 20% off your order. Again, that's activeskinrepair.com and use code CLUTTERFREE to get 20% off your order. Trust me, your skin and your kids will thank you.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
But if people are really overwhelmed in their home and they're ready for a change, right? I think people can be overwhelmed and not be ready for the work and the change that needs to take place. Because I think it's a big internal change that happens when you start to go through your clutter and your stuff. But where do you suggest they start if they are just like, okay, this is it. I'm ready. Let's do it.
So I would suggest a lot of times you really start sometimes in the area that's really causing you the most stress. And it could be a small area. It could be every time you come in the house, you're tired of seeing the shoes all over the place. And it could be just something simple like, you know what, I'm going to get a shoe rack, or they got now shoe cabinets, and just put it there. Or it may be the entry closet, or it may be the family room. And every time somebody goes and gets one of the accessories to the equipment, they just pull everything out. So whatever sometimes is just causing you stress, maybe start on that small area, focus on that, and just move to the next, so that one, when you go into the family room, those accessories will be organized and accessible. And actually, if you need a battery drawer, it'll be right there. Or when you just come home, whether you are managing the home and you just come home, or either when you're working and you come home, the shoes, they're in some type of system. So it's always just starting small, and not necessarily, even when you're looking at the big spaces like the garages and the basements and the attic, sometimes, again, it's good to just do a little bit and maybe just start with just decluttering, getting rid of the boxes that you may have just put in there just to put aside. But you've already put the furniture together and you don't need them anymore. Or looking at something like, you know what, that tricycle's been here for a while. He's not going to use a tricycle anymore because now he's got his own car. He or her. So sometimes it's just really like looking and thinking about things.
Oh my God, I love that. He's not going to use a tricycle anymore. He's got his own car.
Yes, he's not going to use it anymore. And sometimes you have to really look. And I remember I had a conversation with a client where they were keeping the high chair from their daughter. Now, mind you, their daughter was living in New York. She had been living there for years. She's like, well, Janet, just in case the grandkids come. And I said, and I understand that. I said, but also I understand this is a metal high chair. So right now, those aren't really safe. And I said, also, just looking at your lifestyle and the way you and your husband operate, I know once the grandchildren come, you're going to run out and buy all new things. And she said, you know what? That's right. So then they were able to let that go.
Yeah. Yeah. Really getting to that underlying, like, what is your modus operandi, right? Like, are you really going to be the person that's okay using the things from 20, 30 years ago? Or are you going to be that person that goes out and buys new? And no judgment here either way. I definitely am a big proponent of secondhand and reusing when you can. But again, when safety is an issue, absolutely not. So safety always comes first. But you said a word there a couple times of system. What is a system to you? What is, like, if someone hasn't tried putting together a system, as we keep talking about, what does that mean?
A system means being able to find something the first time. For example, a woman came to me and she said, Janet, she said, my husband just needs to change. He just needs to get organized. And I was like, okay, so what's the issue? And she said, he comes home, he just throws his hat here and his keys there. And I said, well, I said, a lot of times we have to look at how our routines and our habits. I said, so possibly a hook for his hat, a hook for his keys. That's a system. It's simple, But she said, that may work. And then someone else shared with me that their college student was going in and out because he was going to college locally. And even though she had something in place, he still didn't feel like he had something for his backpack. So he was always putting it on the floor, but then realizing that, you know what, just a simple hook would help him. Or sometimes just creating a system so that maybe you can, for your system for your utensils. Some people like them in the drawer. I'm one of those people. I don't know, not that I'm a cook, but I like my utensils right on top in a cute little container. So when I'm cooking, stirring things, I can just grab things. So it's really creating things that'll help you function, help you be less stressful, and help you feel like you've got more control over your space, your things, but also your life.
Mm. And what you said there too is so brilliant. Like whatever works for you, right? I'm a drawer person. I don't want to see it on my counter. I do cook every day. And so I want to go into a clean slate. I want to start with a blank so that it's so much easier for me to say like, okay, I get out all my stuff and I put it here and I can do all the stuff. So it's just interesting, right? Everybody works differently. And that's why it is hard to say there's one blanket. But I like what you have said about where to start is somewhere that it's wherever stressing you out, right? Whatever's creating the most friction for you on a daily basis, start there. I've also heard you say, and I've said this too, so I think it's a really great tip about going around your house and writing down. I call it my running to-do list because sometimes I just get so overwhelmed. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much going on in my brain. Everyone listening to this, like, please know you are not alone. Like, Janet and I do what we do probably because we need it. Well, I will say I need it maybe a little bit more than the average person.
I need it too because what I do is when there's little things, I have a cute little basket. And when there's like little things that I need to take care of, I just go put them in the basket and I make a note on my list, like on Saturday, deal with the basket. And then I'll just sit down and I'll take time. Okay, do I need to put this away? Do I need to shred this? Do I need to file this away? So it's like, just like you said, it's like creating some type of system, some type of routine, or just a habit of just maintaining order, because life is life. You're going to come home, you're going to be a little tired, you're going to have to make the food, maybe do the homework, walk the dog. There's so many things. And then it's just really just grabbing all this stuff that needs to go back and just having a habit and a routine to do that.
That's a fun system. I like that system. I do that for our daughter's stuff because she likes to get stuff out. And then at the end of the night, there's like stuff everywhere. So I just put it in there and then we deal with it on a regular basis. But I like that for me too, right? Having that for myself as well. And just, yeah, creating those little systems as well. So what do you do when you make that giant list? How does that list work for you? Because I've heard you talk about this. So I want to see if our systems are similar.
So I don't make the list too big because sometimes if the list gets too big, nothing gets done. I try to have like no more than maybe three, but no more than five tops things that I know I can do. But also what I do is the next step is I make sure I block out time to do it, because I can have all the lists in the world, but if I don't make time to actually do what's on the list, then it doesn't get done. So that helps me. And then sometimes I take it a little step further, depending on what it is. Maybe I have to call and just confirm something, maybe about my medical appointment, or maybe I have to take something to the cleaners, etc. So I'll make sure, like if I take something to the cleaners, put it by the door. If I have to make a call, I have a folder. My folders are listed by the days of the week. So I put that information in there. So when I start my day, I open the folder and there's all the different little things, pieces of paper, etc., that I need to cross off of my list. It'll help me cross items off my list.
So great. Okay. Blocking out the time. Another genius tip. Love that. Now, you were saying earlier, one of your clients coming to you and talking about her husband and how he was unorganized. And I hear that all the time. I definitely am a proponent of working on your stuff and yourself first. But let's say we've gotten to that point. We have started this process. We're committed. We're in, all in. Our families have seen us doing this. Do you have any additional tips for helping listeners get their family on board?
Let's take one more quick pause, and then Janet will let us know her thoughts on getting your family on board with getting your home in order. You do not want to miss her advice here.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
It was interesting you say that, because one, she's a friend, but she's also a client. She shared with me that she realized that her clutter was not only impacting her, but it was actually really impacting everyone else. And I think that's what we have to get. It's like, wait a minute. If I don't put the scissors back, then what's going to happen? Somebody's going to be yelling, "Mom, da, da, where are the scissors?" And it's really just about showing that respect for each other, so that I'm done with the scissors, I'm gonna put them back, so when the next person needs them, they can find them. So it's really about looking beyond ourselves and how is our stuff really impacting everybody. If I just come home and just throw my coat here, bag here, keys there, what's going to happen for the next person that comes through the door? Are they going to be able to sit down? Are they going to find the scissors? Can they find the screwdriver when they need it, or whatever it is? So it's really looking at, how is it impacting everybody else? And that can even filter over into our workspace too, but we're talking about home stuff right now.
That's super powerful, looking at it with that lens. That's super great because, right, sometimes, and I'll put my hand up first, sometimes it's easier for me to do things for other people than it is for myself. So if I have that lens on it of like, this is a way for me to care for my family, that is also going to make it a little bit easier to then remember to put the scissors back, to hang up the coat, to not put my purse on the floor, these kinds of things that can just happen if life is busy, right? You're rushing home from school and you've got to hop on a call or do something. Like, it's really easy to do that. But if you just take the 10 extra seconds, it doesn't even take that long to just put things where they go. So that's really great.
And that is true. Yeah, because one woman shared that her and her husband, they have like a little mailbox key. So she didn't put it back. She didn't put it back. And she said he was frustrated because he was trying to figure out where it was, tearing everything up in the house. And she was like, wait a minute. I think I was the last one that had it. And then she realized, she said, you know what? It was in my purse. She said, so I had to apologize and go to him. She says, but we always have it on a hook. She says, but I didn't put it back on the hook. And she said, I really saw how that, my little action just impacted, just caused stress, frustration. He was like, I can't find the key. Where could it be? It's a little key that it dropped behind something.
Yeah. Well, and so then too, also not getting so frustrated if your loved ones are in that cycle, right, of not putting things back and not being respectful, and then maybe looking at it or having that conversation from that angle as well of like, hey, look, I know things are busy, but it's really helpful when the scissors go back so that I can find them or the kids can find them, so that we don't have to have this 10-minute search for them when you knew exactly where they were, but we didn't want to bother you, or you were at work, or, you know, something was going on. So yeah, I just thinking, looking at it from those perspectives of how it actually impacts your life, again, back to that life organizing, and how that can make such a difference when you just take it back instead of blame and look at it from empathy or from a place of just like, okay, how can we work together? We are a team. Let's do this together. So, oh, so good, Janet. So, so good.
Thank you.
I have a personal question. What's your favorite space in your home and why?
It is definitely my bedroom. And the reason is because I feel like that's after I've gone out and done everything, organizing or just hanging out. It's a place where I can go and I can almost like recharge. I love it because of the way the sun comes in. It just brightens the whole room. And also, I tell people I love it because the way my dresser is, I can sit up and I can just see all the nice little things on my dresser. I don't have anything except for like my perfume bottles and a few other trinkets, but I just like that. And that place just like, it's like, give me a warm hug when I go in there at night. Makes me relax. Makes me feel like I just, usually by the time I just even just sit on the bed, I'm ready to just like go to sleep. But yeah, that's my favorite space.
Nice. Yeah, you were saying you're an early get ready, early wind down person. I'm a little bit later, but I also think it might just be a different life stage at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's a different life stage because it's just me. You got family. It's just me. So I'm like, yay. But I also get up real early too. So that's why.
I just do both.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, it's different. It's a life stage. It's a life stage.
Yeah. But we still have, I still get a decent amount of sleep. I'm like in bed by 10 and up by 5. So it's 7 hours. It's respectable. It's not my ideal. I'll get to 8 eventually, but.
Well, for me, it's just usually a lot of time. It's just like the bed. It's like the bed. I'll read. I'll do this. I might watch. There's certain shows that just relax me because it's just really like a crafty kind of show. I always like to look at those shows where they're repairing something from the past and they just bring it. Those are the kind of things that just relax me and bring me down at night. So, yeah.
Ooh, I like that. All right. I'll have to get your favorite shows after this. But where can listeners find you? I know they're going to listen to this and want to connect and find out more about you and learn more from you. So where can they do that?
They can do that by going to my website at janetmtaylor.com, or they can follow me on Instagram. I am Janet the Organizer.
Love it. Love it. And my favorite way to end every episode, so before I let you go, is with rapid fire questions. I have 3 of them. And the first one is, what does clutter-free mean to you?
It just means being able to enjoy my space. Being able to just, if I have a do nothing day, sit in a chair and enjoy it, seeing just all the beautiful things that I've loved and I've collected over the years with no clutter in the way.
Number 2, what is making you happy right now or in this season of your life?
I think in this season of my life is the fact that I am 60 and I am just excited about, I never thought at this point in my life there would be new opportunities and meeting new people like you. So that is really what's making me happy. And of course, I went out yesterday and I'm like, oh, it's time to pull out the sandals.
So nice. Yeah, there's a big warm spell going through the country right now. Enjoy it because I think rain's coming. But anyway, it's that time of year, right? It's the ups and downs. We enjoy the ups. We deal with the downs.
That's right.
All right. I'm going to go a little off real quick because I know, again, this is supposed to be rapid fire, but I love that you are open to new opportunities. I was talking to a friend, so I had a birthday recently, and I told her, I was like, I cannot believe I am now mid-40s. And I said, I just don't feel like it. But I think a lot of it is the mindset, right? The ability or the willingness to learn new things and try new things and do new things and meet new people and just put yourself out there.
Yeah. It is true because, I mean, my mentor will be 80 this year and she's like, gets on her bike every day. We have all these wonderful conversations. We're constantly texting each other back and forth. I'm like, I saw this on Instagram. What do you think? And then she'll send me some. Janet, I know it's about an hour, but I really think you would find this conversation interesting. So we're always doing things like that. And she's always doing new things as well. She's not stopped.
I think that's the key to staying young, really, is just keeping your mind open to new things and just be interested, right? Be interested.
And that's true. That's true. That is true. That is true. That keeps us young and youthful.
Yes. Yes, I love that. So, all right. And then the third one, because I got a little off track there. The third one is, what's a goal you have for yourself this year?
I would like to walk across the Ben Franklin Bridge again. I did it once. I did it a few years ago, and I want to do it again. It was walk, and I actually twice, because you walk to one side, which is Jersey, and then of course you got to hit that. You got to go back. And it was fun because it was a group of women. It's called Girl Trek. So we had our blue t-shirts on. We were just walking across. People were honking their horns. It was just really, really nice. And I want to do that again.
That's cool. All right. So is that just something you guys did together, or was it an organized thing?
It's an organized thing. The reason Girl Trek was started was so women could walk and not feel like they're walking alone, so they could pair with each anytime, day or night. But yeah, and they just decided to plan it. They're like, let's just cross the bridge. I'm like, okay, I'm down.
I love it. I'll try something new. Let's do it. And now you want to do it again. I love that.
I want to do it again. I want to do it again.
Oh, that's so good. Awesome. Well, Janet, thank you so much for joining us today. The information on organizing and putting together systems, I think that's really going to help people understand where they can start to really make some great progress in their life. And hopefully they'll come check you out as well, because you, my dear, are wonderful.
Thank you so much. I so enjoy being here, and I can't wait till we can be in person.
I know. Someday we're going to get in person. We're on opposite coasts, but someday we'll make it happen.
Yeah, someday. Yeah, we're going to make it happen somehow. Somehow.
Somehow, some way. We will. I love it. All right, Janet, have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
That was a good one, right? One of my favorite things about this podcast, other than helping you listening make positive changes in your life, is getting to meet and chat with amazing people like Janet. I love to hear how others look at and approach decluttering and organizing, but I would love to hear your thoughts on this episode. What stuck out for you the most? I would love to know. So comment on this post on Instagram or send me a DM. I'm wannabe clutter-free on the social channels, or come on over to Facebook and we have a group over there. It's the Wannabe Minimalist Family Group. It's on Facebook and you can share with that private community. There will be a discussion thread for this episode, and we'd love to chat with you in the comments. You can also leave a review on Apple Podcasts, a comment on this episode on Spotify, or a comment on YouTube. It's up to you. And remember, if someone who could use a little help with organizing or starting their journey, go ahead and share this episode with them. It might just be what they need to hear today, and it might be a great way for you to get an accountability buddy on your journey. And of course, special thanks to Janet for joining us on the show today and for sharing her amazing tips for getting organized and how we can incorporate decluttering and organizing together. And of course, that empathy moment of looking at respect and empathy for when we get our family on board. Remember, you can get more detailed show notes and all of her links by heading over to wannabeclutterfree.com/195. Again, that's wannabeclutterfree.com/195. To find out more about Janet. And as always, thank you for joining me today too. With that, I hope you have an amazing day, and I will see you back here next week for a solo show. Until next time, take care, keep things simple, start where you're the most frustrated, and remember, I believe in you. I know that you can do this. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wannabe Clutter Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.